Hello and welcome to the second Manx Putty Pod of the 2019-20 season. Today, myself and Dave,
I'm Rob,
are joined by a man that needs no introduction, Paul Han. Welcome back to Podcast HQ, Hattie. Thanks for steering the French Lamborghini in.
Okay, well, and thank you for inviting us back. Podcast Tower, I think last time it was at the Costa.
So. We went rogue, didn't we, Dave?
We did. It was one of our very few excursions, so I've timed out of the office.
Outside broadcast, down to the Sea Eternal. But you've managed to wangle a couple of hours off work, haven't you, to come and do it this afternoon?
That's right, and it's great to be back in such salubrious surroundings.
That's it. You think Dave could have got really moved all this crap on the left.
I know. My little IT help desk going on here.
So how are you? We stand on the brink of a new season. Are you excited?
Of course I am. You know that. New football season always tends to bring a lot of excitement with the new players transferring in, new managers too as well. Always plenty for us writers, reporters to get our teeth into before the start of the football season. And we mustn't forget, which is always a good yardstick of opinion for the opening season, is we've got the 4-5-1 pull-out.
We didn't even need to say it.
I think that's is always... interesting to gauge some who's transferred where and who, and I think one thing I always find interesting too as well, people's predictions. So
Hattie, of course, is alluding to the 8-page 4-5-1 supplement, which is of course free with your Manx Independent today, Dave.
We've slaved
over the keyboards this week.
We haven't we? Put a lot of effort into it. We do put effort into.
I think I did worked out a rough word count the other day, and it was I can't remember now. Was it
2,500?
Something silly like that. It's quite a lot of words in it. Some of them even make sense, don't they?
I know. I mean, I'm not really used to writing more than my name, so it's a bit of a challenge.
So that's free in the Independent. Of course, we will give you our opinions as we go ahead. Look ahead to the new season shortly. But yes, if you want to see it in print, that's in the Independent today. And of course, you can get it online if you're not on the Isle of Man digitally. Go on to iomtoday.co.im. Look for the digital editions tab. It's easy for me to say.
Yeah.
Click on that. And if you click on the Manx Independent this week, you can buy it there for a pound.
So it's definitely worth it. And just a quick shout out, obviously, to Gary Waitman, who's provided a couple of photos, and Michael Corlett, who's provided a photo as well. So thanks, guys.
So they all feature in this. A wonderful publication, annual publication. Yeah. How was your break? I know you were off to Anglesey, weren't you?
That's right.
Bucket and spade.
Yes, that's right. And not forgetting my my camcorder and my laptop and the usual essentials you bring when you report.
It probably seems like a lifetime ago at that now, but it was a good performance by them. And obviously a little bit disappointed when it come back with the gold, but nevertheless, the boys still played well, didn't they?
They played very well. I think what I've noticed about this particular Ireland games, or inter games, if that's the correct term to use, is we've now seeing a lot of blooding of younger faces into the squad, which I think is imperative. I think it looks like Jonesy, the Ireland management staff, Dicko, Burnsy, they've got, seems to be more of a long-term strategic plan in place of getting these youngsters representative experience and tournament football. And just saying there before, it was disappointing to concede the winning goal with only 5 minutes remaining against Guernsey. Probably a bit of maybe comeback or payback following Gotland 2 years before.
Yeah.
We scored a winning goal last kick of the game, or ahead of the game. It was Callum Morrissey. Yeah. But you know, exciting times ahead. Regarding the representative team, I also did get a chance to see there's some representative matches being played at the Bowl after the Inter-Island games, and we saw some more young players being played, which I think is good to see, and there's exciting times ahead, as I mentioned before.
So talking of a bright future, Dave, we kick off the season and the podcast as a whole in the normal fashion with biscuits, Hattie.
Fantastic.
And I made my usual saunter over to the garage before.
You did.
And just sort of waving at me, almost. if you can imagine a biscuit waving.
Yeah, I always imagine it. Yeah.
Waving at me from the shelf was this packet here before we have now, and it caught my eye because I had a big new big letters, new.
Yeah, nice. Always grabbed your eye.
So I've put it on our Manx Footy Pod Instagram, and it's called McVitie's Digestives Chocolate Chip and Caramel Bits. They're called Twists. right?
Yeah.
I, as you can see, I've had a few already. Okay. So they're very Moorish.
Moorish, right.
And I think these are a game changer.
Yeah.
Right, so Hattie, I'll give you one. Okay. See what you think. Okay. You got your tea and your Agent Machine rum.
Okay, then.
Do you want another one?
I will take another one because I do like these bad boys.
I mean, it's when you're in the down the... Where did you buy those biscuits before?
The garage over there.
The garage. Yeah. Was it calling out your name? Says, Andy, buy me, purchase me.
To be fair, if I went in and bought everything that shouted my name, Hattie, I would be coming back with a lot of stuff. So they've got an expensive food section as well. But it's a bit frowned upon drinking at work these days.
Exactly.
Right, so we've got these. So I'm going to have a whirl. They are amazing.
Yeah.
What do you think of them, Hattie? He's giving it a, you're giving it a full good coat of looking at. he's very polite. He's not eating with his mouth full yet.
That's really nice. I think it's a chocolate chips that really make it.
The caramel bits. The
caramel bits.
Yeah.
Right.
So they're McVitie Digestive Twists. They are, I presume, available around the island,
I would have thought so.
At all good retail outlets.
But they're getting our approval. The Manx 40 Pod seal of approval.
There we go. Yeah, fantastic.
Right, now back to the football. You two.
Yeah, we were at the Charity Shield last week, weren't we, Hattie?
That's right, yes.
And it probably fair to say it wasn't the best of games to watch.
No, it wasn't, no.
And it's difficult to use it as a gauge of progress for these two sides when they were both giving debuts to quite a few players, weren't they?
Exactly, yes. And I think there was a bit of a pre-season feel to it. I think there was a bit of rust within the players too as well, trying to reach match fitness. I think it was a game really where defence, as I thought, was on top, which is reflective of the man of the match performance, which is Carl Clark.
Yeah, I agree.
Which I think that was pretty much a universal opinion across the people who attended the 40 that night. But I think they... Peel just did enough just to scrape through via penalty kick. I think there's a bit of debate going about Adam Madibai should have been sent off.
Yeah, it's this double punishment rule. Last man back. I mean, St Mary's were adamant that basically this was in the last, like, with 12 minutes to go. I think it was Reese went clean for own goal, was about to have a shot, and he was allegedly taken out. It looked a foul from where I was, couldn't tell whether it was inside the area or not. It was right on the edge. Naturally, St Mary's adamant that it's outside. Peel thought it was inside. The referee and the linesman gave it. Obviously, Lee Gale, who's captain for the night, he took a good penalty, as we know he can. But also, we were speaking to, I think it was Carl Clark after the match as well, and he was alluding to the fact that he thought that they should have had a penalty late on as well, when it was a free kick was given on the edge of the other area.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
These things go for you, they go against you.
Yeah.
But I think it was always going to be a set piece that decided that
game,
wasn't it?
Yeah.
It just wasn't the most free-flowing of matches. Yeah.
And then maybe just that quick burst of pace through the centre there, and which resulted in the foul, which then resulted in the resulting penalty kick, which they scored.
Can you tell him much? Did it give much of an indication where, it's only one game, I know, but where the silverware might be going this season, at you? Or was it one of those where it's a glorified friendly at the end of the day and both seasons are still trying out systems, players, and everything in between?
I'd settle for the latter on that one, a glorified friendly. But there's still, there's a lot of football waiting to be played, and I'm sure there's going to be more soap opera and more dramas waiting to be written, and which you could read all about it here in the forthcoming editions of the Alman newspapers, which the reports this year, it's our good selves, is Eric.
Eric's back in the bosom of the sports desk, so to speak. He'll
it's
be out
to have him back,
He's we'll let you know where he's going on a little bit later on. Rory Poole, who did some stuff for us last season, when especially in the north, he's our northern football correspondent.
He's
the Paul Joyce of the Alman newspapers team. He again is planning to do some bits, although he's hoping to play this season if his knee holds out.
Rumour has it he's announcing his retirement.
We'll look forward to that social media film.
And is there Tom Kerr? Is he doing the...
Oh, I haven't spoken to Tom yet, but I'm sure he will. He seemed to enjoy his under-18 stage.
He did a fantastic job last year, didn't he?
Yeah, I enjoyed reading his articles in the Courier.
So he'll be out and about. So, yes, but if anyone else is keen to do bits and bobs for us, we're always open to new contributors, aren't we, Dave?
That's it. If Andy and I can get away with it, then anyone else can do it. So.
Yes. And me included.
Please do email sportsdesk@iomtoday.co.im if you want to get involved. Right, of course, you've said it already, Hattie. All our predictions are nicely laid down in the 4-5-1, which is in today's Max Independent. But if those people may be listening to this and haven't had a chance to get out to the shop or get online to our website and download it digitally, let's just briefly go through who do you think the main runners and riders in the top division and the Division 2 will be this season. So Premier League, who do you think is going to be lifting that? The jug. What would you call it? Jug? I don't even know what you call it.
Just the silverware.
Next year.
I'd say St Mary's, because they have added to their attacking options this year too as well. Albeit, I think Josh Kelly only lasted 15 minutes.
But obviously having Dan Hattersley to bring on was not a bad replacement.
Yeah, a bad replacement.
And Dan look fit?
Yeah, I think he has been apparently struggling with his knock, but he threw himself about well. I thought he grew into the game. As it were, he was more dangerous in the latter stages of the match, so I think his fitness is there.
It's going to obviously be for them too. St Mary's probably play a slightly different style to Russian, don't they?
Well, yeah, they do. But I think that St Mary has really set the standard this year compared to, with last year, with them winning the championship. So I think others really got to follow. You know, it's.
Who do you think is going to be their main challenges then? Is it the same as last year? Well, I think in my predictions, I think I predicted the top four will be the top four, or the top five even, be the same as last year.
I'll go along with that. The only, you had Peel's second and St George's third. I went for St George's second. I saw Johnny Myers there a few days or so ago. Yeah. I got speaking to him. I think Geordie's only lose one player. Mm-hmm. This year.
Yeah, Lewis Brideson's going to university. And he had a great season at fullback for them last year. And they, as you say, it's all in the 4-5-1, but they brought back in Joe Quayle and Sid Batty, I think, are back on the island full time after last year they were away at Myersco and in the USA, respectively. So
I think what's going to be interesting with Geordies is, you know, we've talked about obviously Cal Morrissey and Kieran McNulty have gone, both gone to Michael. Yeah. So how much strength and depth is going
Sam
to be?
Sam Kane as well. I think he'll be a big loss.
Sam Kane.
He'll hate me for saying this, but he's such a versatile player.
Yeah, definitely.
Probably playing about 8 different positions. For St George's.
Una Milson, we'll talk about later on, but I think with Geordies too as well, I think. With them winning the Hospital Cup last year, I think all those young lads, players, has had their first taste of major silverware.
Yeah.
And I think they probably will want more. I think they'll push on. And so, when you've got the likes of Bassey in charge there, you know, he will make charge that this will happen, coupled with the more senior players like Bassey Jr., and
Johnny, Sean.
So they will be learning from the best, from what was probably the most dominant forces of Manx football in recent years.
Peel. Now I've put them down as like St Mary's, what I perceive to be like St Mary's nearest challenges. You know, they've signed Dan Simpson in the transfer window. Yeah. We can call it a window. I think it's it's still left blowing open until the end of December these days, isn't it? But Daniel Simpson, with him, Rhys Oates and Lee Gale, that's a frightening front three, isn't it?
It is. So I think all the opposing defenders out there will have to be on top of the game if you're trying to nullify them. But in terms of that attacking trio, is that how you pronounce it? Any opposing defenders will have their work cut out facing that attacking
It was interesting on Friday, wasn't it? Because they actually started with Billy Kenyuk was leading the line. So Reese dropped back into midfield for a lot of that game. Again, had a great game, and he pushed forward later on. And it just shows you there is a bit of fluidity with those front three.
Yeah.
Total football.
And it was also good to see Mark Kelly back in the first team fold. He played well for Peel last week. I know he had a bit of a stop-start season last year, really, didn't he?
Where was he? Was he in midfield?
He was in the engine room, as you like to call it.
I think Peel, I know you've both said that maybe wasn't the most startling of games, but Peel take a lot from keeping a clean sheet in that match as well, wouldn't they? If we're talking about the front three being frightening, and as you mentioned, Billy as well, you know, throw him into the mix. He's maybe stalled a little bit last season, but when he burst onto the scene, there was a lot of hope.
I thought he did well last week.
But they'll take a lot of heart that they've kept the clean sheet against a team that scored 109 goals in 22 league games last season. So
should definitely mention Joel Callum. He made his debut for Peel.
I think he's a very good
game. And I mean, I thought he was probably one of the, when I've seen Castletown in recent years, he's probably been one of their standout players, without a doubt.
He's just Mr. Reliable, isn't he? You know,
left centre half or left back.
He was sort of pushing out on the left quite a bit, but again, it was sort of interchanging a bit. But you know, he's just such a good, dependable player, isn't he?
And I see that there too as well. Jack Kamada has signed for them, and he's another one of our up and rising footballing stars of the future. So
it does look good for Peel. Almost, though, I think I alluded to it a little bit with Russian last season. Have they got too many players now, a little bit? Because you've got to fit in, potentially, this. If we look at their squad, and I'm presuming they're still all playing, Dom McGreevy, Luke Doherty, Tom Wood, Joel Callow, Andrew Crennel, who else has played centre-half? They've got six, seven centre-halves that can play in that position. Full-back, maybe they're not as blessed. Midfield, they've got options: Bella, Mark Kelly, Jack Kamada. You know, there is the list goes on, doesn't it?
It does. It does. Bella was on the bench on Friday, and I believe he's just had a kid. So whether I don't know how much he's going to play over the first few weeks of the season, who knows? But obviously, congratulations to him. But as you say, there's such a wealth of talent, isn't there? I mean,
and is Falky's main problem going to be keeping everyone
happy? Yeah. I think. Yeah, I mean, that's his crossword puzzle throughout the season. You know, he's got to. Going to have his man management skills cut out on that one, you know, keeping everybody happy, which, you know, he's only got 11 players to pick from to start and the three substitutes. So
the other team that's featured in most people's top four predictions and what you think will probably be in the Railway Cup mix come December is Corinthians. Now, I said in my preview, they weren't quite at the races last season. After the year before where they picked up the two trophies and everything, they arrived, hadn't they?
Yes.
I think they were very well tipped in 4-5-1 last year to maybe even go for the title itself, the Premier League title. Are you happy? They seem to have done some good transfer business, Hattie. They brought in Sam Baines from Onken, who I think
is a very good,
player.
And
Matty Quirk from Douglas Athletic, one of the best goalkeepers in the division. A great signing, isn't it?
Yeah, without doubt. I mean, it's talking about like. The season before, I think the only player that really signed was Vaughan from Laxey. And I think they were hoping the likes of Young Ridings and Chris Callan to return from injury, because they were considering them as maybe two signings, if that's a good way to put it. Adds to their existing squad of players, which was really, really good. But it just, for whatever the reason, just didn't they didn't replicate the season before in terms of silverware.
Well, it's funny, I was reading over my, no, he's cut across you there, but I was reading my piece this time last season, and I put at the end a very small caveat, and it was that team had played a lot of football. There was MIFA and FA competitions last summer. There was probably maybe four or five of that squad were in that. So that's a lot of football in the space of a couple of years, isn't it? Maybe they just got tired.
maybe.
I spoke to Danny McMahon again at the Charity Shield, and he's very positive. You know, and if they can keep that squad fully fit, we know he's got them playing good football. So it will be interesting to see how they kick on now.
They've also, as Hattie said, they had Josh and Chris Cannell back last season. They've also Steve Corlett's back from Danny Gerrard, who's a very good midfielder. Steve Corlett, great fullback. Ronan McDonald as well is back from university. So that's like three other new signings for them as well.
And also just talking about Matty Quirk there too as well, he's proven within the top flight. So I think, is it Adam Killie? Is he going?
I don't know.
I think it'll be a battle between those two.
If Adam sticks around,
I'd say probably Matty is probably our goalkeeper number at the moment.
Certainly seem to be a toss up between him and Dave. And Sam.
Yeah. Providing that if they keep Matty away from the bowls, that is. Matty, I think, has been absolutely brilliant for Douglas Athletic. He's played a part to secure that top flight status now since he got promoted. And I think that, to me, is a great signing. A lot, along with probably Sam Baines, there's a lot of being another young, up-and-coming youngster.
Yeah.
I think...
he looks very good. Interesting to see how he gets on in the Premier League this season. Look at the foot of the table then, lads. The top four, five, we didn't really talk about Russian, but you can maybe throw them into the mix if they get off to a good start. But the bottom also looks like it's going to be a bit of a battle royale. Who's to evade these bottom two places in the Premier League season?
Yeah.
Who's your money on maybe to go down?
Well, I've tipped Paul Rose purely on that. They've just, I think, lost too many key players.
Right.
I just heard that. Is a I think it was Rob Slinger.
Yeah, he's gone to Lax.
And I heard that, just speaking to Flanny there before, that was it Mark Priestland? I think he's retired.
Is he?
Yeah,
that's a big blow. Yeah.
Okay, that's what I've heard anyway. Mm. So, but I think they're struggling with the combination too as well. I think it's just because numbers, they've lost too many key players. They had like a bit of a small squad at the moment, and you're losing players that got them to the top flight this year. You need to really have to secure the top flight stage. You need to try and hang on as many players you possibly can. Somebody once said to me, the best players you could sign throughout the transfer window is keeping your players from last season and add to your existing squad. But I think that squad is a bit too threadbare.
Who else do you reckon for the Georgia
Okay, and Dawson. I've also gone for Castown again because their squad is threadbare, plus lost the key players, likes of Joel and Jack Kamada too.
Kamada retired, Kieran Brown's retired. They have taken a bit of a hammering over the summer.
Yeah, they certainly have. They're desperate for new players for the new season. I know they put an appeal out and they did get a few more players come down to the training sessions, but whether it's enough, I don't know. I know they've got a couple of old faces back, Jake and Ash Sansbury are back. I think Ash is involved in the coaching.
The assistant manager, yeah.
Yeah.
To Kevin Kane, hi, and this is actually quite an unusual summer because of the top flight clubs, Castletown were the only one to change the management team, which, as far as I'm aware. And Kev, obviously, Gary Sansbury, Castletown stalwart, legend. Stepped down at the end of the last, obviously, probably deserved break. He's done it. But Kevin's come in, former Town and Paul Rose midfielder. It'll be interesting to see how he gets on. But he's the Castletown are the only teams that have actually changed. I think one year we had everyone bar one club.
That would be Chris Bass Senior. He would have. Stayed on. Well, I think everyone else, they seem to have had a bit of a revolving door policy, if that is a good thing. we're asking the people to infringe on their spare time, and it's one of these many thankless jobs within Manx football. And
so do we think, apart from them two we've already mentioned, anyone else that could fall be in that sort of bottom four or five?
Well, it's interesting that somebody mentioned Moran, but I don't think Moran have got some good. I think the only player that really lost, I'm just looking at here, is really Ashley Higginbotham.
Yeah, but he's a massive loss, I'd say. Yeah. He scored 10 goals, 10 of the 38 goals last season.
So I think finally the net seems to be a problem for them.
The next two highest scorers were Connor Gilbert and Stewie Morris, who both scored 5. Now, Stewie, we know he's got goals in him, hasn't he? He's a silver boot winner. I think maybe keeping him fit and available, that'll be a massive boost for them.
Yes.
Someone's got to step up and score those goals, Dave. Otherwise, it's going to be a hard season for the Crosby side, isn't it?
It could be, yeah. I don't know what how their under-18s look. I know you mentioned it. They have got a talented junior setup there. And it'd be interesting to see if any of those players can make the breakthrough into the first team. As Hattie says, there is a good squad there at Moran. And I think it's very much... the team's going to have to stick together and slog it out a little bit, I think, this year. I think they'll have just enough to stay up.
Yeah, I think...
Royal?
I was going to maybe just add a bit more to Moran. I think defensively, I think you've got, like, Cameron Adrian's is a
Martin
McQuarrie. They've been the centre backs there for a number of years. I think that's probably
Harry
will
Aubrey
be
as well.
Yeah, Harry Aubrey. I think that will be key in maintaining that top flight status for
Royal. Douglas Royal.
I would like to get relegated last year.
They very nearly did.
It was a default. Yeah, I mean, I was at that match. I got a photograph of the St. John's players celebrating afterwards, holding the St. John's flags on to find out. I think they played an eligible player, St. John's. I think probably I didn't tip Royal this time around because I think they've just got that top flight experience. It's a very, very experienced squad. Some players there. You've got you'll have the usual suspects there. I think just that experience will see them through.
There's been a big loss for them in the sense of Jacob Crook, though. Hasn't
yes,
one of the standout talents of last season.
Yeah, without doubt. Yeah,
he's joined St George's. He might have thought so. He might have got a peel. I think he turned out for them in a couple of pre-season friendlies, but he's actually gone at St George's. And I think if he can learn from Chris Bass Jr., one of the island's finest ever left-sided players, there can't be much better tutors. Really,
exactly, he's in good hands. So
yeah.
So they've lost him. They brought Craig Dolman's come back. You know, he's usually good for a few goals, isn't he?
Yeah, and he has been playing more centre back in recent matches. So
from
the loo, that's right. Yeah,
he'll had a bit of experience. You said experience squad, but I think Fitzy seems, you know, he tends to go with the kids, doesn't he? And
it did last year, and I think it worked for them well last year.
As you said, they'll be a year wiser. Around the block. I think you're right. They might. They're going to just probably finish above that horrible dotted line, aren't they?
Yes, yeah.
But I think, we're not going to obviously go into the depth of all of them, but I think Laxey might have another tough season.
Yeah.
They obviously, it was the Joe Walters great escape last year, but Joe's going to university this year, along with Stan Manning, Andrew Burkett, Matty Wilkinson,
George
Tommy
Borers.
Callum.
Yeah. George Borers has got
George going to Australia, as you say, to play cricket. So he was a sort of mainstay in their midfield last season. I think they could struggle a bit this year.
They could do. It's interesting, I do remember when I was listening to a previous podcast, someone from Laxey, and what they said was just to bring an additional goalkeeper. He's happy with the squad of players he's got.
Right.
I think the only problem that he's looking to solve is the goalkeeping position, which they've Rob Slinger. Rob is a very good goalkeeper. I think what I saw of Laxey last year, I think when I saw them play against Castown and they lost that 4-1, that had to go down as one of the worst performances I've seen this year. Mm. But they managed to find that surge of form there towards the end of the season. I think they beat Russian too as well.
Yeah.
And I was there at the St John's match, which I've got one of the most iconic photographs of all time, when they scored a winning goal against St John's with last kick of the game. Where all the Laxey players just piled on top of each other, celebrating, despite one stage they were losing 2-0 St John's.
It'll be interesting to see how Jordan Cooper gets on. He's obviously moved back to the club. As you put in your preview, Andy, they'll be looking for him to fill the void a little bit left by Joe Walters, and obviously big shoes to fill, but Jordan's a good player,
it's
going to be interesting to see how he...
I think it's going to be tough. We talk all about these clubs, and we could probably throw Old Boys again because they've lost a lot of players. They still have a lot of clubs, but they've lost a lot of players over the summer, and maybe even Douglas Athletic and Ramsey into this mix as well. The key games are going to be the key game between unfortunately. Just the gap here is at the moment. I call it no man's land. There is a bit of a gap between the top five and the rest.
Yeah.
You're almost writing those games off, aren't you, Dave? And targeting the games against other teams around.
You are. As Hattie's just alluded to there, I mean, there were shock results, and Laxey going up against Russian, no one would have expected that. A couple of teams got big results against Old Boys towards the end of last season. There are those, but you can't ever really aim for those ones, can you? I think, as you say, you have to look at that mini league at the bottom. That's where it's going to be interesting. So
I think there's one thing we haven't touched on there is about Douglas Athletic. I mean, at the start of the last season, they were top of the Premier League, weren't they? Yeah. So, and
well, I said it in my review. They flirted, didn't they, with the Railway Cup yeah. places?
But I think the remaining matches for Railway Cup qualification had end up played a big hitters off the Premier League, and that's when.
If you were being unkind, yeah. you would say they had a kind fixture list. But equally, Douglas Athletic and Craig would probably not let us forget us. But they finished with their best ever top flight total, didn't they?
They did, yeah.
And I've said in my preview, they've got to be. Start looking upwards now. I think they were 14 points behind the top four. They're effectively an established Premier League team now. So that's how they bridge that 14 gaps as their next challenge.
Yeah.
Although, having said that, my caveat was St John's were an established Premier League team and they're playing in JCK Division 2.
Yeah. And Athletic have lost arguably two of their most influential players in obviously Matty Quirk, who we mentioned, and Will Penhallowrock, who's gone down to Division 2. So. Yeah.
But they do have signed a good goalkeeper in Adam Kinvig, who's one of the I saw him play for Colby there a few years or so ago, and he's a goalkeeper with huge potential.
Yeah, it's a strange one that though, isn't it? Because he played outfield for Castor. And last season he played outfield.
Really?
For
right.
So he because it was poor in goal.
So.
Sweeper keeper on the lines of the man that's pictured in the next box, Dean Kinley.
Yes.
Who was signed for Old Boys and I think will be an interesting addition to the Premier League.
Very talented player.
I did go up and go to Blackberry Lane a few days or so ago. I took a few squad photos and got a photo of Liam Buckley unveiling his new signings. And I think the thing about Old Boys that a lot of players haven't seen. Dean Kinley play in the Premier League, and I think that he's really keen, hungry to prove himself.
Goalkeeper, striker.
I'd say probably striker.
Yeah.
It's he's got that burst of pace. He's a good footballer, but I think he starts the season. I think with missing the first two matches through suspension.
Right.
I spoke to a couple of the guys at Old Boys at Charity Shields, Colin Purvis, amongst others, and they've been really impressed with how Dean's handled himself in pre-season and how he's gone about it.
He's undoubtedly got the talent. The only thing you could say maybe, and without being harsh, is his temperament, isn't it?
Yeah. White line fever.
Yeah. The only goalkeeper I've ever seen sent off in a penalty shootout.
Oh yes,
the second booking. To this day, he will. Argue that he shouldn't have been sent off.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just one of those things. Yeah. But he was definitely being interesting a character to add to the mix, wasn't he?
Yeah. Just a very brief, and also just brief on Ramsey too as well. I think there's some good good young squad there, as in I think a lot of the players have stuck together, but I think I see that their captain from last year's Nick White's transferred to
rumoured, not gone through.
Right, okay.
The ink is not dry.
Okay then.
But the one big signing they have made is a significant one, isn't it? Darren Hutchin.
Yes.
Moved north. Yeah.
21 goals for the league champions last year, and he will. They themselves, if you look back at the stats from last season, Ramsey were a prolific front three anyway. So. Front three attack. So I think he could definitely add some something to him. And I think Ramsey could be a potential to finish as high as sixth this season.
I think they will push on. I think, especially the younger players that they've got too as well.
Right, onto the division that's very close to your heart, all of our hearts. As Dave described it in his headline, the best league in Europe.
Well, it's in inverted commas because it's been much mentioned on the podcast.
Yeah.
JCK Division 2, this to me looks like it could go to anyone.
Yeah,
I mean, after a summer where essentially it was like a draft system, wasn't it? Players are just thrown up all over the chippy, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, I tipped Unimills. Some people I've known have gone for Ayr United.
All three of us have gone for Ayr and Mills to finish the promotion.
Yeah, understandably so. I've only gone for Unimills because Foxy, he's kept all the players from last year and he's added to the players. He's had a chance to implement his ideas. And plus having likes of Sam Kane on board now, I think will prove key. I think he is out injured at the moment, but he is bringing his expertise he's gathered from St George's. I think he's looking to do his coaching badges too as well. I mean, I work with some of the Unimills guys. I work with Dan Christian and Carl Ewan, and has said that pre-season they've had has been absolutely fantastic.
Because they've also, like, not just Sam, obviously Sam's
the headline actor almost, but
yes.
Luke Booth, Jordan Crawley, Matty Kane.
I've tipped Matty for because you actually said, I reckon he might get the player of the year, but he's a great player on his day. Yeah. And as you say, that whole squad there is good, isn't it?
Yeah. Booth and Crawley, and to be fair to Fox, he did the business early doors. They were in pretty much the first week of June, weren't they? So
that was just what's the train with Jack Wilshere.
It's a bit like they all come from the junior year system, so they're all coming back home to roost, as they say.
Well, talking about coming back home, the same could be said about Air. The band is definitely back together.
They're putting the band
back. Andrews, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, go on, Hattie, you talk it for
well, me. It's. I know. I think Liam Christian. He did help out with a bit of coaching there last year, and I think it was just last year was a bit of a consolidation. But I think they have signed like local lads like Sean Kelly.
Yeah.
They got Adam Anthony Bale and Aidan Cummings, Johnny Shields, and. I'm not sure if there's talk about Baller was meant to be coming back.
No, well, he was in the Peel squad last week.
Yes, he was.
Skilly,
but I think as we see, we finished ninth there this year. I'd only expect them to push on with the players that they've signed.
Well, I'm not being funny. That the players, the names you've just reeled off. You got Tom Hall and Anthony Bailey both won Combi 1 with St Mary's last year. Aidan Cummins in the St Mary's first team squad last year. Johnny Shields, Sean Kelly and Matty Skillicorn were all in the Peel squad that finished while up in the league, Premier League. That is a Premier League team, basically, isn't it?
It is.
Will the only problem be their motivation? You know, I say that, but then I suppose the league does look quite evenly matched across the board, doesn't it?
It does. I mean,
it doesn't look to be... I'll say that now, but maybe with a couple of exceptions, many whipping boys, really.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I have to say, doing the top four predictions for this and doing the league predictions was the toughest it's been for a long time. Yeah. I mean, we've been blessed in Division 2 the last couple of years. I think it's been a great league. This year, I couldn't call it. I mean, I've gone with Union Mills as well and Air to finish second. But honestly, any one of six or seven teams, at least... Yes. At the very least, could finish in that top two. So
I mean, if the people had picked the correct four in this one, I want them to pick my lottery numbers, which is 114 million or something like this.
Yeah. Who else do you think will feature in those two players?
I think probably Colby.
They had a cracking second half this
season. Yeah, that's right. I think
Freddie's return after a horrible start.
Yes.
They were unplayable at times.
Yes. They were the form team last year in the last since I think probably New Year time, wasn't it? Since Freddie took on the managerial role, I think probably Carl Hickey has led to leading the attack.
Yeah, from defender to
centre forward. So I expect them to feature, and also Foxtel. Foxtel have always, to me, that they've always managed to qualify for the Gold Cup. But I think they reached three semi-finals that last year. But just going to that one final step to the final has always remained elusive. I know you've always talked about you want to see the
Foxtel, the Flatbird,
the JCK wagon out through the village.
It'll happen, Hattie, one of these days.
Yeah, I think it will be reliant on Jay Chatwood scoring the goals.
Will Plan-Allery though is a great signing.
I think that will be.
He was in the Isle of Man newspapers team last year.
He was,
And he's just one of those players that never looks rushed in possession.
Yeah, he always looks comfortable.
Stepping out from defence, or he's playing maybe slightly further forward in midfield.
Yeah.
He always seems to be able to pick the simple pass, as it were.
Yes,
Foxtel. Maybe be overshadowed this summer by some of the other teams, but I think they've been there or thereabouts the last few years. My only worry with Foxtel is maybe they've missed their chance. I think last season, or definitely the season before, they maybe should have gone up then.
I think the season before, they should have, when Robbie Jack was in charge, I think that was their best opportunity because the season, because Jay Chatwood was on fire. He finished with silver boots.
Stain was playing as well. Was that the season before?
I think that's the season before. But I think Jay Chatwood up front, he was unstoppable in that
48 goals.
Yeah, he finished himself a boot. Yeah. I think last year, I thought sometimes he always got himself into the goal scoring positions, but just couldn't finish.
Yeah,
and
I think injuries as well.
And I think with Foxtel, I think that they're just too aligned to one person scoring the goals, and if he's not scoring the goals, then that will have a knock on effect.
Before we move on, I suppose we've got to mention Michael, haven't we?
Yes.
Nick Hurt's revolution is gathering pace by the week. They've signed, arguably, two of the Alaman FA side's finest ever strikers, haven't they?
They have.
In the shape of Callum Morrissey and Kieran McNulty. We should point out Callum didn't pay me to say that.
Yeah.
The Shire has gone out to grass out the west.
Yeah.
Do we think they're going to score for fun, aren't they?
They are. And they also got signed Peter Dunn from Hill Time Things.
Biggest kick.
And also Johnny Holland.
Yeah. John Hagerdon as well.
John Hagerdon. So it is, again, like a very, very experienced squad there.
Well, he's also got some young players there. There's obviously Nick's son, Owen, who has been tipped to do good things. Nathan Tier, the young goalkeeper, is another good player.
And now, a word on Nathan, actually, yes, because I was chatting to Hurtie earlier this week, and they've actually signed, Kelvin Dawson is signed for Michael, just as cover, because Nathan's currently out with a dislocated shoulder.
Right.
So we could see Kelvin back in action,
fantastic.
Kelvin, the subject of one of the greatest chants I've ever heard of a Manx football match.
Right.
Kelvin Dawson is a fireman. Na 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 na. Kelvin Dawson is a fireman.
We need to hear this at Blair Road this season.
Yes,
I'm
sure the Blair Road faithful will be chanting that from the sidelines.
Definitely.
So the key, though, the question I asked you two, I know you've mentioned the others, but can two players make a team? Can they get the ball to them regularly enough? Will the defence back door be open while the front?
That's what I'm beginning to think, because I'd imagine they'd just be looking, the style of football that Michael would be playing is they'd be looking, playing a bit direct, trying to get it up to the field as much as possible for the likes of maybe Callum to win that header or probably Peck to pick up the piece to find the back of the net. But it's same sort of time that could leave him exposed, at the back. So that's where the likes of Dunne will have his work cut out there.
Johnny Holland's obviously a very capable midfielder as well. He can do the defensive, the spade work, in midfield, can he? Anyone else that we think we could? St John's going to be an interesting season for them, isn't it? With Adam Watson now taking control after their sort of, I want to say, late relegation, but they thought they stayed up by the skin of their teeth, and now they're playing in Division 2.
I think, go on.
I think it's going to be interesting for them this season.
It will be very good, because there's quite a few Friday night projects too as well, when I looked at the fixture card. So that'll be exciting to watch. I will try and support them as much as possibly can. Adam, I think he has done his managerial spurs with Corinthians and also at Douglas Athletic. So he is like looking to do it, go it alone on this occasion in the managerial helm.
Yeah.
I think Richard Wynne did message me before saying, why aren't you tipping the St John's? But it is such a difficult league to pick for teams from. St John's, I think, will be there and thereabouts.
Yeah.
I think so.
Well, if you want to find out what we think about the rest of Division 2, please do pick up a 4-5-1. You've done a bit on every team, haven't you, Dave?
Certainly have, and obviously you've covered every team in the Premier League. We've got predictions from each club, and so it's...
And predictions from, inverted commas, the pundits.
Including
Agent Rashid, who I know went down very well last season.
Yeah.
Right, Hattie, we've been inundated with questions for you this podcast. I think we had 12 in, which is, I think, might be a new podcast record. Dave will probably correct me here, but there you go. We've got all the manner to get through, so we'll crack on. Starting with Dave, Jim's manager. We didn't actually mention Jim's there, but they'll be hoping for an improvement on last season, won't they?
Yeah, I think they've had they've got a couple of players in. They've kept a fairly solid squad from last year, and as we saw them, they nearly shocked Geordies in the cup last season, and it just shows you if they can perform like that to their ability on a more consistent basis, then you just never know, do you? So, Tony has asked, this obviously alluding to a recent outing of yours, Hattie.
Yes.
After your assist in the back on side Cal Cup charity game, although you're on the losing side, are you ready for walking football?
Now, I think we should give a bit of background to this, because I saw this on your Instagram, or I think, or maybe Jim's Instagram.
That's right, yes.
Yeah, and you actually played football this summer.
That's right, I did, yeah. So it came on last 50 minutes.
When was the last time you played prior to that?
Ooh, it was probably, believe it or not, the walking football match with you guys down at the bowl. I think the newspapers had their own, reporters had their own team, didn't they?
The media moguls.
Yeah, the media moguls, that's right, yeah. And so that, I'd say that's my last football match I played, which the match itself, I really did enjoy it. It was good, and it's, I think it also raised awareness about mental health
issues. Yeah, and obviously it's Cal Pete's onside cup, as Dave said. So talk us through the assist then.
Okay, well, it was just I had the ball, just provided a through ball.
Oh.
Yeah, which then from the resulting tack, which had passed one or two passes, and the ball was in the back of the net. I think we're losing...
Key pass, I think that's cool.
I'd say so, because it split the defence, and it had the defender back... the opposing defenders on the back foot, and the pass to play result.
So were you playing a sort of...
Furler role?
Well, they originally threw me up front. But I was playing without my glasses. Evan was blurred. And then the first thing that they did is that Rob Slinger, who's on the same team as me, he just launched it forward. And I thought, what to do with this? And just blurred things coming towards me. And I tried to squint. I thought, I dead head it or anything like that. So, I'm doing myself an injury.
Hattie rolled out of the 20 years.
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't want to do an injury, but... it was good crack. I really did enjoy the day.
So, walking football, is that the next step?
I think I've got to wait. That's for 55s, isn't it? So,
no, I don't think so. I think you can maybe. I think they'd probably let you play anyway.
You're a man of your stature.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm pretty sure. I think it's over 50s now.
Is it over? Well,
but I know you're not near there yet. But
I'm 49, so.
Oh! So, you don't look a day over 46.
That's something I would maybe possibly consider. You know, it's all trying to find the time.
Well, they'll all be trying to tap you up now, won't they?
Yes.
Any
plans in place for your 50th party, by the way?
Not at the moment. Not at the moment.
There's got to be a big match of the bowl, a benefit with the testimony, the hat and testimony.
Dave can bring the monkey brains down.
Yes.
Tony Sewell also asks, apart from the bowl, what's your favourite ground?
I quite like the St John's because of the floodlights.
St John's is lovely. I especially with the kind of Witch's Hill in the background. I can't remember.
Yes.
Swelling in the background. Hill, yeah. And in the trees, it is a lovely little spot. It's always quite nice and sheltered as well.
It is.
Tend to get the hula you do at some of the other grounds in Ireland. I'd be with you there.
Yeah, and I quite like Bella Fletcher and also. Carlby with new facilities, because the only problem with Carlby, I think, it's a bit exposed. But I'll be making my way down to Carlby this Saturday because they've got the opening of the new stand there too as well.
Yes, so it's 1 o'clock Saturday afternoon.
That's 1 o'clock Saturday afternoon.
Ahead of their fixture with Governors Athletic.
I also quite like Clint Lowry too as well. Always get plenty of banter there from the sidelines, and that's my
the Wailing Wall.
That was my. That's my local team. I served there as secretary and on the committee there for a few years too as well, so I've got to throw that too as well.
Right, next question's in from Stephen Fox. We've already mentioned Foxy at Union Mills. We've talked about who you think will win the Premier League and Division 2. He also wants to know Combi 1 and Combi 2, so who do you think will stand out? This is always a bit of a lottery, isn't it?
It is,
filters into the second strings, but Combi 1, obviously St Mary's are reigning champions. Can you see it passing on again this season?
I'd probably say it's probably St Mary's again.
Peel and Rushing tend to be strong in the Combi, and they're always there or thereabouts in the Junior Cup, aren't they?
Yeah, and also Corinthians too as well in recent years. So, but I'll go for Combi. They've got the strength. It's Combi 2.
Combi 2? Right, Combi Corner was your baby, and we will be bringing it back, much to your disappointment, in the next couple of weeks. But Combi 2, we'll ask you, Harry.
Well, I tell you what, I'm really going to put my neck out here, and I'm going to go for maybe Douglas and District.
I knew you were going to say that.
Because that's going to lead to one of the next questions, isn't it? Yeah, from Aaron Delaney, I think.
Right, okay.
Richfield.
We'll talk about it in a minute. But yeah. Dave?
I think Easy. I think they had a good year last year. I think they'll be strong again. Yeah.
So.
It's difficult though because you know we've done all this talk about you know transfers in and out and stuff like that, but we just don't know how the combi sides are going to shape up. So,
or if they'll shape up, we'll talk about that in a minute. But yes, next question, Hattie.
Right.
Oh no, it's from Foxy. Sorry,
Foxy.
Is what with some teams struggling for players and others having countless players? Do you think that limiting squad size, easy for me to say, of clubs could help?
I would be against that because we can't really tell people what they do in the spare time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're not getting paid.
Yeah. I know what Fox is alluding to here, but there's also a transfer window up until the end of the new year. So if people aren't getting a game, they should really be looking to play elsewhere.
Mm.
And that does help. People playing football because they should know if they're in the manager's plans or not in the first 1 to 2 months, or if they don't fancy playing combination football. Now they do have that escape. If that's a good way to describe it, and maybe a chance to play elsewhere.
Yeah.
But I see where Fox is coming from there. But myself personally, I would be against it, especially when they've got some combination teams struggling for numbers.
Yeah.
Next question then coming from Mark Adams. Very simply, would you ever consider appearing on Strictly?
No.
And why ever not?
Because I've got two left feet when it comes to dancing, ballroom dancing.
there've been various sightings of you on the dance floor over the years, with a pint of Guinness or a gin and so on.
Yeah, well, yeah. Just talking about there, I think talking about Steve Fox about your opinion on FC.
We missed that again. Foxy, sorry, you've sent so many questions in. Yeah, that's a good point. So you've ruled out Strictly, we can confirm that.
Yeah, we can confirm that. So Mark.
Yeah, what's your opinion on FC Alfman then?
Yeah, I'm for FC Alfman.
Yeah.
Because we've seen other sports teams regularly competing across in the UK in rugby, netball and hockey. So I think it's a good chance for the Isle of Man to really spread its wings and test water on the UK mainland. I think it would have been a team like St George's. Did they ever really reach their full potential as players? Because, albeit they reached it here in the Isle of Man, what could have maybe achieved playing across in the UK? Probably we'll never know with that squad of players like Frank Jones and Chris Bash Jr. when they're in the prime, they're around 10, maybe 5-10 years or so ago when they were winning Grand Slams. I will be attending the town hall sessions on, I think, down at Colby this Saturday
morning. I think it's past
11,
isn't it?
I did also listen to the podcast with interest. I think the only thing which I'm just a bit concerned about, I think it has been picked up, is about when it comes, will everything then be geared towards FC Isle of Man? Will the main focus of attention will be on that? Because that what it was like when Guernsey FC, when they first started doing, and the grassroots football in Guernsey was neglected for a time. So I would have concerns regarding that. There's some people mentioning too as well about will this be the death knell of combination football? Because all the focus of energy will be towards that FC Isle of Man.
Well, we should. Obviously, Paul Jones will be at these town hall meetings. There'll be a chance for people to hear everything from him.
Obviously, we'll plug the first podcast this season we did with him, because I thought that was. He spoke very well. He addressed a lot of issues in that.
He did, yes.
So it's well worth the listen as well, isn't it?
Yes.
But as Dave says, they were at all the meetings.
Yeah, so we've got, obviously, Hattie's already mentioned, the first one's at Colby this Saturday, starting at 11:15. Then on Monday, it's going to be at Peel at 7:45 in the evening. Followed on Wednesday at Ballyclone, so up in Ramsey at 7 o'clock. And then the following Saturday, so September the 14th, at Bella Fletcher. It's going to be hosted by Corinthians, and it's going to start at 10:45 in the morning.
Yeah.
So I think the point now, we've seen it when we put it on our social media, we've seen it on other forms of social media. Everyone seems to have an opinion about it.
Yes.
This is your chance to go and ask the questions you're asking on social media.
Yeah.
Will it affect combination football? Other things like that. Go. and to these meetings and ask the questions.
It's, yeah.
Nothing's off topic.
Just don't whinge online.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you've had the chance to go and ask questions about it. I'm with Hattie. I think it'd be great for Max football.
Yeah,
I think the issues about combination football aren't just going to be caused by FC Arnhem.
No, I think that's an ongoing issue. Yeah,
they've been on the slide for the last couple of years.
We've
been having a debate and work with Sam, who plays combination football. He's very much on the fence about FC Arnhem. I'd say, you know, we're very lucky to have 26 clubs for an area of our size that field most. Well, and we'll have to wait and see what happens on Saturday. Most fielding two clubs teams. That's you know, 500 odd players every Saturday. Okay.
Yeah.
That's you wouldn't get that in the UK.
We are so lucky with that.
There is possibly more chat to be around the restructuring the leagues, and maybe combination football just needs to be tweaked. Maybe it needs to be the best teams go into the first teams, the first leagues in the bottom division to kick off with, like in Spanish football or such like. And then eventually everyone will find their level. Maybe there's a Sunday league needs to be looked at. I don't know, but.
Yeah.
They're for discussions for brighter and more intelligent people than me. But this is I think FC Arnhem being banded around this combination thing is a slightly off the mark.
But
if you've got questions or concerns, please do go to these meetings and voice them.
Paul will be more than happy to answer them. You know, he's done his homework with this. This is, as he said in the podcast, this isn't just a recent thing. This has been a long project.
And. It's interesting what Jonesy had to say too as well, because he said like the restructuring and also probably if there were any money made from this, if there was a surplus on the end of it, they'd be maybe looking to bring maybe likes of coaches from across the UK to maybe re-educate maybe in junior football. So it's good. To me, I think it's a bit of a win-win situation all around, I think. So I think it should be good.
Yeah, so we'll have, you know, it's obviously a continuing and developing situation. I think there's the big FA meeting in October where it will be going before the board.
Yeah.
So there'll be more after that. But yeah, please do go to these meetings and voice your concerns if you have them. Right, next question is from the Youthy official account. Hattie, of course, they've heard that you're going to the Big Northern Derby this weekend, and which is, of course, right, Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys against Ayr United.
Yeah.
Are you said they're looking forward to this week's fixture?
Of course I am. It's not get a chance. I didn't really get a chance. Well, I did report on quite a few make trips down north, as you say, to Ballacloan last year. And you had like all three top teams playing in the second tier. I didn't get a chance to go to Andreas. I did watch Ayr United twice last year, but I am looking forward to it. It should be a good game. It should be interesting to see how the new signings at Ayr United are going to bed in, and also Rijkaard too as well. You know, they finished the top four last year. Interesting to see if they could maintain that ambitions of trying to get promoted to the top flight. They've been a bit of a yo-yo team in recent years. I'm saying that too as well. So it's Ayr United. So
it's always a derby. It's always a little bit spicy.
There's a needle in it. Yes. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to the game, and I will be like staying out afterwards. So I will try and catch up from the boys too as well. So
I know you voiced some concerns on social media that there might be a pre-match fight with Agent Rashid. But he's obviously reassured you now, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has. Yeah. Well, I thought pre-match spilling would have Paul the Hitman Hatton versus Agent. Okay, Rashid, you can see like the boxing poster now.
Well, speaking of Rashid, he's sent some questions for you, hasn't he?
Yeah,
he certainly has, yes.
You're drinking
I'm drinking out of this mug too as well.
That's good, because the first thing he says is, "Hi, Paul, I hope you're well and drinking out of my mug." So there you go.
The answer is yes.
Straight to the point, he asks, are you at FTSE IOM? So, as we know, there is another
Twitter.
Yeah, we've got another rival. I think it's great to always listen to a different opinion beside our own, see what, you know, thoughts and ideas that they could bring to encourage debate within Manchester football. But the answer to that question is no, because it mentioned on their Twitter account that they are the fourth best Twitter account on Manchester football, behind the podcast, myself and there's someone else.
Rashid.
Rashid himself, of course. Yeah. Yes. So the answer to the question is no, I'm not 40 iron.
I wouldn't like to put them in order.
Right, no, first. No. Okay. Yeah.
Join first.
Yeah.
He also asked, if you could change one thing about Manx 40, what would it be? I would say it should be compulsory for us agents stroke pundits to receive a pasty at every game.
Oh God,
right.
We all over that.
The size of a house. That was the yeah. So what would you change?
I'd probably maybe, I had an interesting talk there with Fanny just before. I may be looking at probably, I think senior players can only play football at 16, but I believe if you're good enough, then you should play. I don't think age shouldn't be an issue, provided you had parental consent.
So what age from?
I'd probably maybe go from under 14s onwards.
14?
14 to 15s, because I knew people who play for the Ireland when only 15, senior Ireland when they're 15 years of age.
Wow.
You mean it's when age shouldn't really hold you back, but there is that parental consent, which I would go for. Age shouldn't... I think I had a situation there, I think... It was when Ella Dixon, when she was 15, she could play for Manchester United,
yeah.
albeit the foundation, but she couldn't play for senior football, women's and the Isle of Man.
Right.
So, yeah. It's
an odd one, yeah.
It is.
And I know we talked about it when we did the women's football podcast with Simon and, Alex last year. And I think a lot of it's to do with
welfare, is it?
Yeah, changing rooms. It's not necessarily the physicality of the game. It's more to do with the fact that an under 16 can't get changed in the same changing facilities as an adults team for obvious safeguarding issues. But it's an interesting one. It always kicks about, doesn't it?
It'd be interesting to see how that one goes, really, because I do agree. You know, if you're good enough, you should be old enough to play in a sense. But,
next question.
Yeah, from the serious to the ridiculous.
Yeah.
From the Shire, Callum Morrissey asks, have you ever been to Ibiza?
No, I haven't.
Right, that was short and sweet.
Yes, okay. I've.
Have you ever been on a clubbing holiday, Hattie?
No. No, I've been a couple of stag trips. I've been to been to Cavos and I've been to
Magaluf,
that's right, but not Ibiza.
Do you have the glow sticks? No.
No.
Foam cannon and all that?
No. I think went to the MC
BCM Square.
BCM, that's it, yes, yeah.
MC Squared.
Yes, yes. Right. down the strip in Magaluf.
I once spent 2 weeks in Magaluf, it nearly killed me.
Yeah.
I spent the 2 weeks nearly in Iapa as well. I don't know why, I decided we used to go for 2 weeks.
No.
You don't strike me as the raving type.
No, I didn't. I fell asleep, when I went to Iapa, I passed out in the toilet and was rescued by... Hollyoaks actor, but his name forgets. He was in Holby City as well, so he's obviously a very versatile actor. But yeah,
well,
I seem like I can find the picture.
It's a good claim to fame.
He supported Liverpool. I remember that. Yeah. It was around 2005.
Liverpool did run you in the Champions League. So.
Yeah.
Hattie, have you ever been rescued by anyone famous? I mean, you know.
I don't think so. No.
Have you ever rescued anyone famous?
I don't think so, no. Tim as well.
Not yet.
Next questions are in from Will Miller. Dave?
Bath
bomb extraordinaire.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Bath bomber.
He asks, what is the best end of season do that you've been to?
I've always enjoyed my end of season do, so it's hard to really pick
That's
out.
That's an understatement.
Yes, yeah. Now, it'd be wrong to single out any particular one, because I think a lot of these people do invite me, and I've every single one I've attended I've really enjoyed. So it's really hard to single one out. I noticed that some of the...
Which was your most drunk at?
Probably all of them. once I had a taste of Guinness and a gin, that's it.
Well, I usually book a hotel at the venue as well.
That's right. You know, it's get a chance to probably wake up and have like a good fry up the day afterwards. I think one thing I noticed about the prize presentations, and some they do have like a character of their own, like the Douglas Athletic one. They used to bring like the voting.
Mm. But Bernie Aspel was the genius behind it.
Yeah, and some of them you could have voted for on the night.
Yeah.
Which I think is good. I think that's quite a novel
approach. Be interesting how it goes forward, because he's left, hasn't he?
Yeah,
left
Douglas Adair,
yeah. Isn't he? Who's that? Mark...
Bernard.
Yeah, right, right.
It's inside 451.
Right? Yeah, right. Oh, right. Okay, there's also Dave Matheson for Douglas and District. They always tend to have a statistics of the past year and...
I can't think who's behind those statistics.
Yes.
Everyone loves a good spreadsheet, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Who else are you going to mention?
I was going to mention, I think probably what Will was trying to allude to there, I think, is when Una Mills won the treble
right
in 2012. I think I went to their end of season to do there, and he gave me a Una Mills shirt to wear, and I think on one occasion they just carried me aloft,
nice.
carried me across the dance floor, and they just started throwing me up in the air like a rag doll and catching me.
Jesus. And did they catch you?
Yes, unfortunately.
I feel like there needs to be like a statue made of this,
yeah, video. Yeah,
I think that's before the days when mobile technology wasn't as it was.
Probably just as well for you.
Yes, probably just for me, just as well.
If anyone's got a fax of that particular evening, please do send it in. The other question from Will, he says, quite rather cheekily, how long does it take to do your hair?
Is that a cut it or wash it? cut it maybe around 2 to 3 minutes. Yeah. I've got a pair of streamers. The most annoying bit when it comes to doing cutting hair streamers. Hair streamers.
Streamers, isn't that what you used to do the garden?
Or clippers. Clippers are good at. But the most annoying thing is when it comes to cutting your hair at the back, I always tend to miss a bit. And when sometimes I turn up to a football match and going to work, I'm saying, oh, you missed a bit there in the back. So then I have to get someone with a pair of scissors to cut that bit.
What a sight. Oh, my God.
Have you seen the ones, I think that are like round?
Oh, that one, yes. Yeah. I probably can invest in one of them, can't I?
We'd miss a bit then.
Yes, yeah.
Maybe Will could get you a Union Mills branded one.
Yeah, that could be good. Something to watch out for, or it could be a line of club merchandise, we don't know. Probably to wash it, it only just takes around just a few minutes to as well. I always tend to do it in the shower, you know, with the Lynx bath. Shampoo and bath gel.
I like how you didn't want to ask questions about Strictly or Ibiza.
Right.
But that hair one, that really got you going.
Yes. Yeah.
Right, next question, moving on.
Aaron Delaney,
yeah.
Obviously D&D Combi manager.
Yeah.
Hattie, which team surprised you last season in each division?
Okay. Premier League, I'd probably maybe go for, probably mentioned before, Douglas Athletic. You know, they have been probably just that top off that second tier within the Premier League. But then I think they finished their highest position to date. I could maybe say the likes of St Mary's, because they finished ninth last year.
Yeah.
I always think to myself, when you sign an influx of players a little bit, they did sign some good players, some Ireland players. I thought maybe take at least maybe a year for that to bed in. But for them to finish with the Premier League, I thought was a fantastic achievement. So all credit to Al Harrison there. Second tier. I think probably myself, Ramsey Youth Centre. I didn't tip them to finish within the top four.
Yeah.
Same for a lot of people, because they had such a summer of flux, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
And Ray Leach only became the manager at the season. So
yeah, so I think to get within qualify within top four, I thought was a great achievement. I thought probably that semi-final match against Paul Rose, I thought Daniel Sherry was just absolutely superb. He scored a hat-trick, and he scored one of the goals, you probably may have seen on YouTube, where he just juggles the ball and just hits it across the Paul Rose defence and just strikes on the volley. That's a brilliant goal, that was.
I thought you did the training, though, wasn't it?
It's a combination one, it has to be St Mary's, because they'd never won a combination division title in their life before.
Yeah.
And probably just mentioned there, Aaron, I think he wants me to say Douglas and District, because they finished their highest, I think, league position regarding all the senior teams. I think they finished one stage, they had second or third. I think they lost the last game to Ramsey, but I think they finished fifth in the league last year. So I'd have to say Duxton District.
I remember that Comedy 2 was quite competitive last year, wasn't it?
It was. Obviously, the title was wrapped up fairly quickly, but the battle was second, third, fourth.
Yes.
Comedy 2?
Yeah.
Yes,
They surprised me. That would be my surprise package in Comedy 2. I think Oncom did very well. Yeah. Take nothing away from D&D, but I thought Oncom had a very good season last year. And Ramsey, I think they had points deduction. I think they would have been a bit further up otherwise. But there you go. Right, one of your big mates, Keith Eddleston, he's tweeted and he says, when can we expect a visit down to Bankie Lane to watch Mersey Valley LFC from the legend himself?
Okay.
And he said, because obviously Keith was manager of Altrincham Lane.
That's right, yes.
Where Anna Dillon was playing a trade for a season or two.
That's right, yeah.
He's moved on now to Mersey Valley LFC. Have you been to see them? Are you going?
I would like to see them. I was just trying to find the time. Yeah. It is. I do have like another busy season ahead reporting, but I will find the time. I'll drop Keith a message and it'll be good to catch up with him. I did catch up with him during TT week.
Yeah.
Because he's a big bike fan too as well. He's a regular visitor to the shows for the TT.
And then Altrincham Men were here last year, weren't they? I think he came over for that.
No, he did. Yes, he did. So. It'd be good to see Keith and wish him all the best on his new footballing venture.
Yeah, that's an amazing name. Mersey Valley, Dave?
Right, the next question is in from Anthony Page. So he just asks, who's your young player to watch this season? Someone who's going to make the breakthrough in senior football?
I'd probably maybe say Sam Baines. Name seems to be tipped about.
Quite he's been very mentioned, yeah.
And I'd probably maybe go likes of Jacob Crook. I thought he had a very good Eunice Mann tournament, I thought. Very, very good.
I think I'll be keen to see how Dylan Pickles does for Ramsey. I know he's a bit older than him too, but yeah, he'll be a good one to watch for Ramsey. Yeah. And he had a great season last year for them in Division 2.
He did, he's fantastic. I think another one to look out for again this year is Harry Horbury.
After
it was a fantastic year last year, I think he'll probably kick on again this year.
Yeah. But I think it's always great though, with the names we've just mentioned, four or five, you sort of came onto the radar last year, and there will be some again that have come from under-18s football or even under-16s and we'll break through this season, especially in the likes of Douglas Royal, maybe Moran, those clubs that haven't got the luxury of a slightly bigger squad and have to rely on youth.
And I went to the Moran annual prize presentation and Harry did win a number of awards there, so that's reflective of his breakthrough season he had last season.
Golden Glove winner as well, of course.
Of course he was, I think another player, and not so much a breakthrough player because he's now been around for a couple of years, but a younger player who I think will have a good year is Adam Adebayi. I think he'll do quite well.
Did he play at fullback last night?
He did. Having seen him play at Old Boys in various different positions, he's certainly got the talent. I think he's a really good handy player.
I think it'd be interesting because he always looked really good going forward.
Yeah.
And how he tempers that. It's almost like, I don't know, obviously he's a big Everton fan like myself. Did you watch the game against Wolves last week?
Yes, yeah.
And the Wolves played that Adam Traore.
Adam Traore.
He was built like a brick outhouse and can run like the wind, but he's a winger, and they tried playing him at fullback last week, and he was found. I think Iwobi's first goal, he didn't go with him.
Yeah, it was two goals inside 11 minutes, wasn't it?
So I think, but going forward, he was amazing. So I think if Adam can learn the defensive side of that role, he'd be a very good fullback.
I have to say, I thought he was very disciplined against St Mary's.
Peel.
So I think I thought he had a very good game for them. So I expect good things from him this year.
We mentioned him a bit earlier, Rag and Bone Sam, and he's just looking over. No, he's out of the office at the moment. He says, there's a question for you, how your best and worst pitch to visit in Division 2?
St John's is the best.
Yes.
And maybe a Colby too as well, which alluded to before.
Worst?
Can I name it? Is it okay for me to name and shame?
It's your opinion, hey?
Okay, well, he's asked a question. I've got to give a response. Probably... I don't upset my good friend Dave Matheson, but it's about D&D purely because that slope on the side. So,
get it sorted, Dave.
Yeah, okay. Malou's always been a good pitch too, as well. That's always been Clackvane's always been. Every time I catch the bus to and from work, there's always work on it during the summer season. It's always well maintained.
Up the Clack.
Yeah.
Right. He also says, do you think Division 2 could see any benefit from FC Isle of Man? Now, we've talked about it before. We've talked about the maybe effect on combination football. What do you think it will have an effect on Division 2?
Well, I think probably one thing which I probably didn't mention to you before was, I think it all depends what level that people want to play at in football. If people want to play the elite football, they will play for the better teams. If they just want to play the second division football, they will play in the second division two teams. If they want to play combination football, it's all about finding your level.
Mm.
So
people might not want to commit to training two or three times a week, and then the travel that comes with it.
Yeah.
So they will maybe it will be of a benefit for Division Two. You might have some of the players maybe towards the end of their career and a bit commas that will want to come down. Like we've seen it already with Callum and Pekka in this season. Perhaps they don't want to commit to training so much with St George's. They've looked for a different thing with Michael. So that maybe happened. Maybe more broadly with FC Isle of Man, wouldn't it?
Yes, definitely. Mm. But I think probably to FC Isle of Man, I think they will be looking for more getting players from their elite teams. So, you could see maybe that influx of players from the top flight going second tier.
We'll have to see, won't we?
Yeah.
I think it's one of those things. Yeah. If we had crystal balls, we'd be a lot richer and probably not recording this podcast.
I think it's probably just what I just mentioned there before about maybe FC Isle of Man taking more of the top players, and would you see more players within the second tier want to play first team? That makes second division a bit less, because there's not that participation level, because people want to be playing in the top flight. So is enough players to go around to as well? Will it weaken it? Will it weaken Manx football, FC Isle of Man? I don't think so.
Well, unfortunately, it's one of those. There's going to be a giant leap taken.
Yes, there will be.
And then after that,
It's
how we deal with it, isn't it? And I think you mentioned Guernsey FC before, and I think, Dave, you can correct me here, but I'm pretty sure when Paul came into the podcast, he said that Guernsey and even Jersey Bulls, who were the latest the team to go into the non-league system, that they did it with a sort of almost circumnavigated the FA.
Yeah.
Paul and the other guys behind FC Isle of Man are trying to get everyone involved by doing the meetings like this,
getting everyone on board,
doing the podcast, you're talking to the FA board, talking to the Junior Football League, going to individual clubs, the clubs so which to try and get everyone on board, because that's the only way it will really work. And I think he said as well, he'd spoken to Tony Vance, who's the Guernsey FC manager, and the guys behind Jersey, and they said if we could do it again, that's what we'd do.
They're learning the lessons from the previous one.
They have like a public consultation over it, and I think that's a good thing. Yeah. So,
we'll see what happens.
I think
watch this space.
Yeah, it's a journey into the unknown.
Yeah,
we don't know what's going to come of this, but I wish them all the best, Jonesy. And
final question this week, Dave.
Yeah, it's good to have him back. He's took a year off from playing much football, really.
And a year off from asking podcast questions. Yeah, it's not been the same since. Our listening figures have gone through the floor.
I know. I mean, I remember one time you told me you used to think of these Twitter questions when he's in the shower. So whether that means he hasn't showered for a year, I don't know. Anyway, the man in question is Joey Andrews.
Yeah, he's back playing for Braddon, we believe, again this season.
Right. Certainly is.
Great centre-back. He also asks, go on.
How many pairs of socks do you wear when braving the Manx weather? Thanks in advance.
One pair of socks.
Just one?
One pair of socks, yeah.
You're a harder man than me. Yeah. I have two, or at least a thermal.
Yeah.
Because I get trench foot otherwise.
Yeah. Well, I tell you one thing which I did pick up on when I saw you out reporting there at the Spring Road.
Occasionally happens.
Yeah, occasionally. Sorry, down the grassy knoll.
Yeah.
Right. And you've got like a pair of Wellington boots.
I did, yeah.
So I thought to myself, I invest in a pair of Wellington boots. And I've also invested into as well. It's like one of these like boiler suits, but it's a bit like it's padded.
A padded boiler suit?
Well, do you know what I'm talking about? It's a shell suit, that's it.
Right. So you've gone from maybe I had you sort of pitched at the man that does the training, puts the coal in the training gym.
Oh, yeah.
To then go into a shell suit, like an 80s football.
It's like it's one of those, it's just one piece. I don't know what the technical term for it is, it's just one of those one piece ones where it just covers
Cellar Pets.
Is that what they're called?
Is it got? Is it what Gary Wakeman wears?
No, well, he's got all the gear.
Yeah.
No, the one is it like a fisherman would wear?
It's just a one piece and it's all padded.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I mean, and
right.
Yeah. So I've invested in one of them.
Like a sub suit.
Yes, that's it. Yes, yeah. Like a sub suit. Like, yes.
You need to take a selfie of this.
Yeah.
Saturday.
Can you take a selfie?
Yeah.
And because I have got all sorts of images running through my mind.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Okay. Okay.
You would have advised one of them, would you?
Yes, because you know if you're standing on the side of a touchline with my camcorder, you'd end up just getting frozen when you've got a good westerly wind blowing in at Colby and where's expert and I'll be making my little for the Gary don't talk about the agriculture stuff like that show. I'm still mentally scarred from that.
I wasn't going to mention the umbrella incident.
Yeah,
I will share it on Instagram
and I will be making regular trips to Gary Moore too as well this year with the Unimills too as well, so I think that's I will be in, buying what is a good investment.
Yes.
Okay. Right. So that's all your Twitter questions. We're only going to briefly just have a quick look at this weekend's fixtures. There's not much form or such like to go through it. So we'll just pretty much just say who's playing where. So they're all 2:30 kickoffs on the day. So, Canlife Premier League. We at the moment we think we have a full hit, but Hattie might have some breaking news for us. We'll go to that in a second. Big game for me takes place at one of the aforementioned exposed destinations, Hattie, and that's Bala Fletcher and Corinthians versus St George's. Big game, really, to kick the season off, isn't it?
It is. Absolutely massive game. And, you know, there are two teams that were amongst the silverware 2 years or so ago. Interesting to see how Corinthians will feature this year after missing their silverware.
Yeah.
But I'm just maybe going to tip Geordie's in this one. I think we'll see the young ones coming too, albeit Corinthians will have home advantage.
Yeah, but definitely will get an interesting one to see. I'm going to be there, so follow at Manx Footy Pod for all the latest updates from there. And such like, and I might even take a picture of what I'm wearing if people are into
that. If you've got a suit, why not?
Next big game, Castletown versus Douglas Royal. Now, Hattie, there's question marks about that one, you believe, isn't there?
Yeah, well, it's when I was speaking to. I think it's
unnamed official.
Yeah. So that match may not be going ahead because Caston is struggling to field a team.
Now, we haven't had any official word on this, so we'll have to wait and see. Okay. But, yeah,
but I'll go for Ducks well in that one.
Dave, obviously, Caston, your hometown, your adopted hometown club. Patty is trying his best, isn't he? And Kev and everyone else down there. If they got 3 points out of this, it would be a massive boost, wouldn't it?
It certainly would. And you know, they probably would have been quite happy when this fixture list was drawn up. But yeah, maybe it has just come too soon with them. You know, it has been a tough summer for them. I wouldn't like to call this one, even if it does go ahead. So maybe a draw.
Paul Rose marked their return to the top flight for the thing for the first time since 2005. And they take on South Douglas rivals St Mary's at Springfield Road. Interesting fact about Paul Rose: didn't drop didn't lose at home in the league last season.
And
they'll need to build on that home form again this season, won't they? But the visit of the champions is—it's never going to be easy on the first day back, is it?
No, I think the fixture list has been unkind for Pulley at the opening day of the season, so it's St Mary's win.
First day at Big School for Pulley, Dave. Steve Priestnell obviously facing his old club. Can he get anything out of it?
Never say never. But I have to say, I just think St Mary's will be too strong. Whether or not Josh is back from injury after Josh going Kelly, off last week, Jack was missing, so who knows? But I just think St Mary's will be too strong.
Game at Blackberry Lane sees Douglas High School boys take on Waxy, and a game actually that both we talked about targeting points. Both will be going for this. Waxy in particular, because if I was putting a pound on it, I'd still think quite a few of their university bods will be here.
Yeah.
Probably their last hurrah.
Yeah. I'm tipping Laxey winning that one.
Yeah. Dave, do you agree?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I think it will be the minus.
Dean Kinley, though, his Premier League. Oh,
no, so he's suspended. Yes.
Dean Kinley-less old Bulls. It could maybe just favour the minors this week.
After saying that Sean Gavin will be leading the line for old boys, he might want to get one over his old club as well. So
that'd be interesting to see. Ramsey versus Peel, one of the most played fixtures in Manx football, I'd guess.
Yeah, I'd say so. That I think they probably two oldest teams still playing Manx football. Yeah. So,
but Peel obviously buoyed by last week's Charity Shield. I know we've knocked it down, said it was a bit of a glorified friendly, but still they'll be off, keen to get off on a flying start. Ramsey, of course, there, and it, you know, again show that they deserve to be at the top table, as it were. I maybe go for a draw in this one.
I think I'll just Peel, but I'm just going to edge it just towards Peel because I think playing at Ballacloan wouldn't be easy, you know, in that enclosed ground. But I'm just going to edge it just for a Peel win.
I think Ramsey, I agree with what you're saying. I think Ramsey will give this a really good go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think they will cause Peel a fair few problems, but I just think the Westerners will have too much about them. I think the quality in that squad... they'll be too strong. I think they'll come through with the 3 points.
Yeah, watch this be a convincing win for Peel now after I've called a draw. Round versus Rutland United rounds off this weekend's Premier League action. It does look, for all the world, this would be a two if you were doing a coupon, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to go Rutland for a win.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for a draw. We'll be a little bit different. Just
Harry Aubrey playing at his dad's for the team.
Well, yeah, there is that.
For some heroics.
The added incentive. I just think Rutland, you know, they've lost two great players in Hattersley and Kelly. And I just think, I know you mentioned you've got, you know, like Steve Riding and all that.
Mike Williams.
Yeah, they've got a great team there. I just wonder whether they might be a little bit sluggish at the start of the season. I don't know. Could be totally wrong, but... Yeah, I just fancy Moran to just possibly sneak something from this.
Moran taking a point out of this, I think it would be monkey brains all round.
Yeah,
yes.
Yes.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Week off, obviously, for Douglas Athletic. Craig Purvis probably want the boys back in it, but, you know, they have that luxury, don't they, of an extra week's rest. JCK Division 2, kicking off another six fixtures there, kicking off with the Northern Derby, which, of course, you've already said you're going to. This looks to be a cracker.
Yes, and... I think there'll be this two teams they'll make want to make a very early mark in the second tier. You know, Rycop finishing within the top four and A United with the players that they signed. I'm just going to just edge for A United in this one.
Dave?
Set the fence, draw.
No, I think I'm with Hattie here. I think we want to get off to a flying start. We've already talked about their squads. They're almost like a Galacticos of second division. I think this could be... you know, a good one for them to get three. I think Youthia missing a couple as well. So, I'd go for the Tangerines in this one. Right, Foxtel versus Braddon. Obviously, Braddon are back.
Yeah, they are.
First team after a season away. A trip to Foxtel's not the easiest way to kick off a season, is it?
And also, too, as well, I think with Braddon, I think it's going to be a year of consolidation with them signing a number of players, trying to get them all back together, playing together as a unit.
I noticed they've actually signed players in the start of the season, and they've moved. Like we talked, I think Ashley Humphreys has gone back to the Douglas District after 43 days.
Yeah.
I think Callum Dawson's gone back to Wonkin after being a bright signing for at the start of the season. Maybe they've signed too many players.
Right, but I'm tipping a Foxtel win for this one.
Yeah, Dave Matheson was wondering whether that Ashley Humphrey deal might be the shortest in transfer history.
Funny, I think a person we've already mentioned in this week's podcast might hold that. I'm pretty sure Jordan Cooper, when he left Gyms, signed for Laxey and then went to St Mary's in the same summer transfer window. And I think it was a shorter period than that, but I might be wrong. Yeah. I might be wrong, but he would be my educated guess.
Yeah.
But yes, so we talk about Braddon, Foxtel. I'm obviously going to say home win, aren't I? Billy Goat Park, the home of heroes. Dave?
Yeah, I think, we talked about Ayr getting the band back together. It's certainly the case with Braddon, some of the players they've got back. It's got a very old school feel to it. It might just take them a little bit of time to get back into the swing of things, who knows? Either way, on paper, I think Foxtel will be too strong.
Yeah.
Union Mills versus St John's. Obviously, we've all tipped them to finish in the top two at the end of the season. So Union Mills, a bit of pressure on their shoulders now, Hattie. St John's, obviously, probably the totally opposite. They've come down after a tough season. They can go out now and just play football and enjoy themselves, can't they?
They can, but I think this will prove a problematic fixture for St John's. A bit of what they call Midlands Derby. It's a good way to describe it. So... But I'm sure that likes of Foxy will be keen to hit the ground running for the opening day of the season. And I'm tipping a Mills win, but again, only just.
I agree with Harry with that. I think it will be close.
Mary Millers.
Yeah.
to full time. Right, Colby, we've already mentioned Hattie are opening their new stand on Saturday with the visit of Governors Athletic. This to me looks what you call a firm, a banker for a home win. Yeah. But stranger things have happened in Manx football, haven't they?
Well, they have, because I think Governors Athletic at the start of last season, albeit they lost their three opening matches, it was only by the one goal, and some of them were against good opposition like Savina Mills and Foxtel. So, and they've got Burton Dave McCabe Senior. I think they brought someone from the outside of Governors Athletic. Always tend to be in-house the previous managerial appointments. And what I've been told is some of their pre-season trading has been really, really good. But I think with Colby, as we touched on before, them being one of the form teams in the second tier last year and on their home turf and the opening of the new stadium, I'm sure that will be wanted to hit the start the second tier on a winning note.
Will they be dancing in the moonlight at the station station field?
Beautiful, though. Beautiful. Yes, I reckon they will.
Yeah. Right, fair enough. Douglasson District versus Manx United. Now, this will be the much anticipated debut of, we think, Callum Morrison and Kieran Minulty in for the Aces. Should be an easy win for Michael, are we saying? Or Douglasson District?
Well,
can they offer any resistance on Hattie's worst pitch in the too?
Sorry, Dave. Yeah. I think if you take like the fixture last year, I think that this would be like a close fixture. But with the players that Michael have signed, you'd expect them to win. But I'm sure that, who knows, manager Rick Delaney, I think it's the third or fourth year in charge now. I think he'll get all the players all rolled up for that fixture. But I'm just tipping Michael because the players at the side.
I think Michael will get the 3 points in this.
Yeah, it's not looking good, Dave. I think Michael, we're all going for away wins all round. I'm pretty sure there. Final fixture in Division 2 seeks Jim's welcome Malou to Tramode. Tony Sewell derby in many
yes.
ways. do we think his new club can get one over his old one?
I think I think Malou have just lost too many players, and I think Jim's have kept the most of the core of the players. I think they've lost was
Wes Gibson.
But I'm tipping Jim's for this one.
Okay.
I agree. I think Tony's fairly happy with the squad he's got there. Haven't spoken to him earlier this week, and Malou, it's a complete opposite, as you say. In their own words, they say they've lost pretty much the entire first team, and it's tough to bounce back from that.
Yeah.
It's a shame because I think Cal Alexander, they were getting some momentum there.
Yes, they were.
He sort of had the rug sort of whipped from underneath him there, but there you go, that's what will, isn't it? I'm going to go for a score draw in this one. It's not a nil-nil, because Eric was telling me there's only been 14 nil-nils in 13 years in the Premier League, and there's probably even less in Division 2.
Yeah.
Defending is a bit of a dirty word in the second tier, isn't it? So, I reckon a draw for that one. Yeah.
Okay, here first.
On can obviously have the week off. They're the only team we haven't mentioned. Enjoy it. The Division's probably still... Oh, last week of stock car action.
It is. Demolition Derby on Sunday, so,
yeah. Right, for the first time this season, I'm very excited. Dave reads the weather.
Well, I have to say, it's looking pretty good weather-wise. Saturday, it's due to be dry with sunny and clear spells. The wind is going to die down a little bit as well, so it will be windy tomorrow. There'll be a couple of patches of rain, but by Saturday it should be all right, so hopefully.
Temperature?
Temperature's going to be between 11 and 18 degrees.
Tropical.
Right.
I wouldn't put your padded boiler suit on.
Subsuit on.
Be a bit Hattie, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for coming in. Thanks for all your hard work throughout the season.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And as I say, all our musings are in 451. This is our final plug for it, I promise, which is in this week's Manx Independent. Hattie, people, your camcording goes onto YouTube, doesn't it? What's your channel? Or?
It's Prof Hattie.
Right. You have quite a few subscribers, don't you?
We do, yes. A lot. A few more has been added over the summer season. And another... year off reporting and video recording from the sidelines and taking photographs and Twitter updates too as well.
He's a one-man machine, multimedia machine.
As you say, Hattie's going to make a nuisance of himself
at that school of Gary this weekend. So watch out north, okay?
Enjoy a cup of Bovril. Right, okay, until next week.
Ta-ta for now.